Okay.
I had done to you.
Fine, fine.
How was the cat fight? Who won?
Nobody won.
Calvin retreated.
Calvin just went. Poof.
Typical Calvin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I entangled the two surviving fighters.
One of one who's your daughter?
Yes.
I'm sorry I missed last week's session. I'd like to get right into serious business, if it's okay with you.
Okay.
Oh.
So, how's it going?
Good.
Oh,
that's good. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm all feisty. My tail, if I had a tail, would be fluffed up and fun.
All right. Anybody got first questions besides me? Okay. Fire away, though.
Traveling.
Uh-huh.
Knowing how to do all the braving.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the first step.
Yeah, right. What are some more hints that you can find?
Okay. Relaxing, but yet using a stimuli of some kind. I believe Mark used to use and still does from time to time tea. That keeps you stimulated, but doesn't give you too much stimulation for your body. There are many different types of aids to astral traveling. Most of them are dead ends. The most successful one that isn't a dead end is patience and practice. How many times you've tried? 3 times? Okay, and how many times have you succeeded?
Mm-hmm.
You raise yourself up out of your body.
Out of my body.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's a success. So you have to duplicate that.
That was really the first time I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done it 2 other times.
So you need somebody to talk you through it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What we can do at the end of the channeling session is these guys can stay down here. We'll go upstairs and I'll talk you into it.
Well, how about we go upstairs and you put it on the pyramid?
Well, we could go that way as well. Would that work for you?
Just lay in the chair and you work from the pyramid. That'd be even better.
That'd be better.
Tia, would the pyramid assist?
Mm-hmm. That's why I was about to say that it would be better for Nicole to be in the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Mm-hmm. We'll work on that at the end. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Help Oscar all you want.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that every person in your life, that you have met them somewhere else in other life?
Yes.
And does that have a bearing on
how you react and behave towards them?
Yeah.
Yes, very much so.
What happened in your past life?
One of my past lives?
No, I'm talking about them.
In general.
Mm-hmm. Meeting someone and is there a good chance that person was in a past life?
There is a high probability. However, like you meet strangers, souls will pass in the night, as it were, like ships in the night.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But people that come into your life and orbit around you for a period of time, whether it is a week, 2 weeks, a month, a year, are people that you have met before, but have things to help you with. You take somebody that you bump into and you see them for a couple weeks and then they're gone again. They're there primarily to help you with one important thing in your life. It may seem trivial at the time, but you look back on things in your past, in this life, right, where people have had a dramatic effect, even though you've only met them briefly for a week or so, or even a couple of days. Can anybody think of an incident where that's happened?
I have, but it was more somebody who I've known many lifetimes. But, recognizing it later, but they're only in my life for just
a brief period,
just a couple of weeks. But boy,
yeah,
they just changed my life all around.
Mm-hmm.
Completely.
Yeah. Yeah. And, it's somebody like that has done that before many times to you. They may have stayed with you for a longer period of time or a shorter period of time. But it has happened many, many times. But there are people that you bump into just once or maybe twice, and then you never see them again. Or somebody that you bump into just once a year for a couple of days.
Okay, one more question.
Mm-hmm. That's Russ's line.
Mm-hmm. With soulmate, mm-hmm. is it possible that you come across a soulmate and...
walked by him?
You've actually met a soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
Your soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't realised it?
I believe I have done that.
Because every person has a soulmate,
mm-hmm.
and only one soulmate.
Pretty much so, yeah.
But not necessarily. Am I correct?
Yeah, there are a few exceptions to the rules.
You have a twin soulmate.
Yeah, well,
twin
triplets.
Souls only one, or twin, triplets.
Sorry, mm-hmm. twin souls.
Yeah, that's twin souls. Yes. Right. Twin souls, you only have one of. And sometimes you don't even recognize them. We're very fortunate that us triplet souls up here recognized each other. And it's a very strange thing when you recognize that you're complete, you're whole. The other person is more important than your own well-being, and they have the same reaction towards you. When the three of us are all together in the same space, it's wonderful.
So what I'm asking is, say I have met my twin soul before,
mm-hmm.
would I have known?
You may have got a funny feeling about him, like, or her. Sometimes it can be a she. It's like Kiri and myself and Mark. I mean, two young ladies and the daft Englishman. Yeah, sure. Daft Englishman. But
Mark's gonna love this.
Mm-hmm. But it's a feeling that you have inside you. When I first met Mark, my heart went flip flop. It's sort of like he's the one. I didn't know what he was the one for, but figured that out later on.
Possible for a twin soul to just come go by your wayside and
yeah. It's possible, and it probably has happened and probably will happen.
Have you ever read that book, 2150 AD?
No, I live it.
Yeah, I know, but I just thought you might have read it.
No, I haven't.
Well, you read it through Mark, right?
Yeah, I read it through Mark.
What do you think of it?
I think it's a pretty good book. It's a lot of fun. It is a possibility. It's enjoyable. It's a nice piece of light literature. Of course, it's different from what Mark says. Mark's an old passion stuck in the mud.
I just like to hear, I'd like to hear Mark have a different opinion, or Mark and Amol, or Mark and Kiri, or Mark or Carl. I like to hear, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean. I like to tease him sometimes. I like to get him really going. But yeah, we do have different opinions. Kiri has very different opinions from Mark, but she's more aware of the fact that we have a recording device that I don't care sometimes, and Kiri does care sometimes, and then we switch over from time to time. Let's move on to the next person.
Are you sick of me?
No, I'm not sick of you. I can never be sick of you. You're funny. You talk like Mark does.
I like Mark, but I don't talk like him.
You enunciate more clearly than these other...
That's right, because we know English, I think. Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to take off from where Nicole touched on,
uh-huh.
About the five of us, including Mark, English friend.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, I know that Russ and I have been together in some capacity in a past life,
uh-huh.
for sure. There's no doubt about that. But I do believe that all of us here, including Mark, have all five of us have been together in a past life.
Mm-hmm.
And am I correct in that assumption? Do you know?
There is a high probability, yes. A high probability. I can't say one way or the other. But I should say there is a very high probability.
Now, how does this take into account parallel lifetimes?
And parallel lifetimes we don't cover because they've split off at a particular point.
But theoretically, there are some lives where we haven't all been together, but there's some that we have definitely been together. That's why there's such a high probability of
That's right.
In fact, it's 100% sure that we've been together.
I mean, if you factor in parallel lifelines and parallel universes and galaxies and so on, yes, there is that high probability.
100% chance.
Will you explain to me how parallel lifetimes, if it runs on the same principle as parallel lines, where does the splitting come in? Because parallel lines don't split. They stay parallel. Throughout the continuous path.
Yeah, but they break off at certain points and then run parallel.
Right, so from
So you've got a set of parallel lines that'll break off and run parallel to another set of parallel lines and then possibly interact again?
Interact. It's kind of like a tree. You look at a tree and it has branches and roots and so on. And the trunk is the start line, right? Right at the ground.
Yes.
Okay, and it goes up, and something happens, and a branch breaks off, and it goes, that branch goes up, and the trunk carries on growing, and then there's another break, and it goes off and up, and there's all these things occurring that create parallel lines. Yeah,
that
splitting
was
off.
Excellent analogy. Thank you for your clarification on that.
Yeah, it's not in the exact terminology of parallel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as the mathematical formula for parallel lines holds.
I thought Tia did a very good job of describing it to me. I mean, it was perfect.
How do you get high macro awareness?
By learning to understand yourself first. And learning to understand yourself is one of those. Why do you behave in a certain way to certain people? Positive or negative?
People get different vibes.
That's right. Now, learning how to react to those vibes in a positive way is the first step to learning awareness.
Now, Tia,
mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, I always had a problem with emulating those people I was near.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was somebody who was really hyper. I'd get really hyper and so on. And, I mean, I'd take on those characteristics, mostly because I was really empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my learning has come about from being my own person.
Mm-hmm.
And not emulating others that I'm around, but maintaining my own self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this kind of what Nicole's talking about?
Kind of. Being her own self, not influenced by other people's. The conversations that she's had that I've listened to seems to come from the fact that she wants to be her own person. Is that correct?
I've never been the one who's been influenced. I haven't necessarily been influenced. I've made my mind up about the situation and then gone from there. People put things into my head and I've...
Yeah, reacting in a particular way.
Yes.
But, yes, everybody is influenced by everything else to a lesser or greater extent.
Now, with us, with our group, and being with such a strong bunch of people, can't you utilize that as a tool to learn and grow?
Yeah, you learn from each other.
About apathy and just camaraderie and using that as a tool. I can see where in some instances it could be detrimental, but I can see the opposite where it could be very beneficial.
It's just a matter of picking out what is beneficial and what is harmful and weaving it together. Everybody has their own particular personalities. As I said, Ryan is a silent, thoughtful individual. Nicole is a person of action. Russ is a person of thought, then action. You're a person that is of let's have fun, but let's keep it serious at the same time. And all those things together can bring a stronger group. Mark is a person that, again, can be very serious, but yet also has a very playful nature. But the individual traits is what makes you individuals and also could make a great team.
Since I have been in this household, and actually got into home macro awareness, and doing these channeling sessions, I don't think I'm a bad person.
No.
But I don't think I'm totally good person. So because I do have faults.
But that's what makes you stronger.
So that's why I'd like to find out more about.
Yeah, I have faults. I can get very jealous from time to time.
I'm not a jealous person. And, you know, there are things about me I know really bugs me, really bugs me.
There are ways of releasing the stress. You used one way last Sunday night? Saturday night? Friday night? Oh, whatever night it was, I watched with interest. Whereas you and Mark sat down and got a little bit inebriated.
Yeah, but I don't, to be really honest with you, I don't like drinking.
No, it doesn't solve anything, but it releases some of the tension.
Yeah, and I mean, I must admit, that was unreal. Like, I was in tears about, you know, half an hour before Mark suggested let's have a drink, and I was dancing on the lounge.
I thought that was funny. I miss all this fun.
Yeah, I was dancing on the lounge. I mean, great. And I couldn't. I mean, if I felt like that, I'd be bloody dying.
Yeah, it's not the answer, but it is a temporary release. There are other ways of releasing pent up energy like that.
But no, what I'm trying to say is my main concern is keeping my stress within myself. And not snapping at people.
But there are ways.
Because, I then become a disliked person for the wrong reason. Because I'm very well liked and I know a lot of people, but I don't want to react like that.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to make myself a better person.
But what you can always do is say that I'm terribly sorry to the person when you snap at them and go, look, I'm terribly sorry, it's not directed at you, I have problems. I won't burden you with the problems. I apologise.
You know, I want to stop it before it actually happens.
Well, there's all.
Otherwise, I'm going to be walking around with a bloody sign on my head saying sorry. I have problems.
Oh, sorry. I thought there was one there. You have to remember. Here's a good way. You focus the energy into something that will help to release the aggression, and make you feel better. Because you're on edge because of what is happening, what you do is you find a way of releasing that energy, whether it's chopping wood, running, walking. Myself, when I get edgy, I do housework.
That kept me busy.
Yeah, especially in this house.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Most untidiest bunch of individuals I've ever had the pleasure of meeting.
Bachelor pad. What do you want?
We're a little rough around the edges.
I've got your hint anyway, too. Thank you.
It. Yeah, they might have got the hints as well.
I'm glad you're here, brother, I have to admit.
Thank you.
You should be around here more often.
If I could be, I would be, in physical form. And that's one of the keys of love there is the desire.
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay, let's put on the next person.
Who might that be?
Wait and see.
Okay, we'll wait.
All right. Next question.
Greetings and felicitations.
Greetings them all.
Greetings everybody.
Hi,
Mom. Okay, let us get down to business.
Hi, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about this before. It's got nothing to do with it. 13% of the mind is used to think with all your senses and all that. What's the other 87% for?
That is for you to discover.
No, I want to be told something.
It is for what is to come later. It is for the evolutionary step that will occur. It is many things. It is not just for one function. To sit here and list what it would be for would take quite a time.
Let me try something. Amal, how much your brain do you use out of curiosity?
About 80%.
Okay, there you go.
Amal, may I interject? Mm-hmm. With us going from a third dimensional to a sixth dimensional shift,
yes,
will
it will increase
also
the amount
increase
of,
our brain capacity?
It will increase the amount that is used.
Can you give us a general percentage, or is that an individual thing?
It is an individual thing, but an average would be about 30% to start off with.
That's a lot.
So they put you in charge.
In the mind of speaking, yes.
Okay.
Excuse me, just one second. What brain capacity did the Syrians use?
Prior to their six-dimensional change?
I'm curious. Is there a relation between the Syrian change and the Earth change?
They used about 15 to 20%.
Similar to us?
Yes.
And what do they utilize now?
On average, about 50%.
Okay, so there is some similarities between the Syrian evolution and the human evolution on Earth.
Yes.
Now, are there lower percentages due to our advent of television?
Not exactly. That, in actual fact, has increased the capacity a little bit by the access of information on a larger scale to a larger audience.
Oh, okay.
But it is a very minute increase on average.
So would it be safe to say that we could, as humans in the third dimension, increase our brain capacity to 20%?
That is possible, but not likely.
What would be a more realistic percentage?
For an average human in their life, the possibility for 15% is there. 16 or 17% if they really push it.
Is the shift to the sixth dimension in our grasp here, in our little group we've got here in Lake Tahoe?
There is that possibility.
Is there also a possibility that we might have to live another lifetime to experience that?
There is that possibility also. Nothing is set in stone.
All right, I'm working on, if I can diverge here from everything, brains and all, going on to future plans.
Uh-huh.
And looking at a few things that are going to be triggering a lot of this stuff. And one of the things that really strikes me is this coming up election.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from what I understand, from what we've talked about, it doesn't matter who's going to be elected, Republican or Democrat.
Yes.
Due to the fact that the change is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
But now, would our participation in any of the politics involved in that make any difference whatsoever?
There are many possibilities. There is an increase in possible hostile action if you intervene in certain ways, and a decrease if you intervene in other ways.
Mm. Well, how about just voting?
Voting, yes, that is, would be possible, and the outcome is not set in stone. Your vote may or may not benefit. By you having a change in heart from being a Democrat?
Well, you know what? I'm back and forth on that right now. There's certain portions of it I really like, and certain portions I'm not too fond of right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wavering. Like right now, there's a gentleman named Alan Keyes, who's running for Republican, black gentleman,
mm-hmm.
eloquent speaker. With a lot of potential, I feel, but I don't think he's going to have any, you know, significance in this election whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But what he has to say is a lot of what I think.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how it's going to go, but I'm watching it very closely,
mm-hmm.
due to the fact that it ties in closely with our future.
Yes. But all the individuals that have aspirations to be president are factored into our calculations.
Mm.
The main primary three or four actually.
Forbes in there? Excuse me, is Forbes a factor?
Forbes is a factor, but he is low on the factor level. Looking at the factors, we have the current gentleman in office and her husband.
I like the way you term that.
We also have Perot.
Yeah.
We have Dole. And we have the other gentleman involved.
What, Buchanan?
Buchanan being one of them, Mr. Forbes being another one. But the more popular they are, the higher their probability of being elected. The more well-known they are, again, increases the possibility of being elected. So it is a very shaky issue to say who is going to be in power and who is going to affect in a positive or negative way the upcoming events.
Well, regarding that, how did the paper get on Hillary's desk?
You'd have to ask our specialized analyst on
the Whitewater Fair.
I guess she could find out.
Yes, she could find that. Our computer whiz child.
Do you perceive the United States going to a three-party system as opposed to a two-party political system?
There is that possibility, and it is a high possibility.
And do you see negative or positive implications from that?
There is both positive and negative. There are political alliances that can be created, again, for a positive or negative interest.
So if Perot and Forbes got together and ran on the same ticket as independents, they could shake up American society as we know it and win.
Correct, yes.
They do have the money and the power to do that.
Correct.
Without the political background.
However, I do not see those two running together on the same ticket. They are too much independent, rugged individuals that would be more at odds than at evens with each other. However, if they did and overcame their differences, they would be a very formidable and mighty team that would be unstoppable. So you see what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. And so right now it looks like the independents are going to take away from one party or the other. In our last election, Perot made the difference where Clinton actually got elected.
Yes.
Now, could Forbes and Perot do the same thing on this election?
Certainly. Certainly.
And do you perceive any benefit, whether the American people go Democratic, Independent, or Republican?
I see many benefits and many negative factors. This is a subject that you have to look at very carefully and think about very carefully, because what will happen depends on who is in office. Scenario A is most likely with a Republican ticket. Scenario B is most likely with an independent. And scenario C is most likely with a Clinton ticket.
Okay.
But it is very iffy. There are factors of A, B, and C in all of them.
Correct. Now, I'm 39 years of age. I've never voted. I'm not politically active. Is there any reason for me to become politically active? Is my one vote actually going to make a difference in this country?
All votes make a difference. Whether or not you should become politically active is your own decision. As has been pointed out, by me saying do this or do that is interference. By suggesting influences you in turn, it helps you. Whether or not you vote is your own decision. Whether or not you head in a particular goal is your own decision.
Can I ask a question?
Certainly.
How do you get around that? Not voting.
It's your right in this country. Yeah. You have the choice to vote or not to vote. Mm-hmm. And I've chosen not to all my adult life.
No, sorry, which is it? No, I thought it might be stands up. And we have to vote.
No, that's one thing that makes America America. You have that freedom where it's an individual decision.
You find out about those currencies, that Uruguay currency?
No, we have not. We have been busy with other matters. I will ask somebody to investigate for you. But it is necessary for people to be assigned to research. After all, I am the basic founder. Young man, do you have a question?
At the moment, I don't.
Okay.
I'm still thinking.
That is good. Never stop thinking. Okay. Russ?
Yes.
Back to your question.
Oh. Mine was answered.
Yes. Do you have any more?
Oh, yeah. I got one about our local cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the history of cinema, I've always noticed that you'll get two movies that show really good versions of aliens and other races, and then you get one that's really gnarly, like Close Encounters and E.T. was countered by this TV show called V, really popular and showed the Earth being taken over.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had Abyss and Cocoon, which are all about friendly, happy aliens, and then you had Fire in the Sky. Mm-hmm. It was about some dude being taken up and just getting tortured practically. And now you have Alien Workshop, which is the clothing company, and other good things about aliens coming up. And now you got this new movie coming out called ID4.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen anything on it yet.
Not yet.
But it's all about, you see the preview of this shadow of this huge ship coming over Washington, and then you see, the White House being blown up. And, the thing saying, on July 3rd, they attack. On Independence Day, we fight back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay. So it's like, we're seeing, coming up here real quick, another major change. But why is this always happening?
It's just because your planet is preoccupied with internal problems. They use the popular medium of the time to work out its problems. And to look at itself.
Oh, so I'm not looking at this as to escape their problems and to keep focus on something other than.
That is right.
Oh, I see.
It is internal. A reflection of one's society is when it looks outside to look back in to analyze itself.
Oh, okay. I see it. You're still dealing with this on a really subtler level than I would be.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's see.
You're welcome.
Can you clarify something for me?
Certainly.
We've discussed this before, and I know your memory is special, but if there is a, I hate to use the word alien, but for ease of this conversation, mm-hmm. if there is a hostile alien invasion on this planet, you would interact. You would come to our assistance.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes.
Now, any problems that we create on our own, whether economical or political, you cannot interact and
correct.
Will not interact.
Correct.
Except the way you do through your channeling sessions.
Correct.
Us.
Your planet was invaded, which I do not see happening for quite a while yet, or at all. We have the ability to land platoons within half an hour. We have the ability to call in more personnel within 6 hours. We can muster an air force within 5 minutes over your planet of frontline fighter aircraft, or UFOs as we call them. Within 2 hours, we can muster more. Within a week, we can double the amount of personnel on your planet and quadruple the amount of air cover.
Why why is your concern for us so strong for you? What is it?
It is not for us, but it is the Syrians and the oath that they gave a long time ago.
And you're bound to this oath?
They are bound to the oath. We are bound to them by an oath that we gave them. So indirectly, yes, we are bound.
That was excellent clarification. Thank you.
Yes, but we cannot interfere in internal struggles. But an external invasion force, we will help to defend your planet because of the oath that Syrians gave.
But any external hostile force is already well aware of you and the amount of help you could muster.
Correct. So we are a deterrent in
effectively eliminating that threat.
Right, exactly. So we're on our own. The only problems we create.